Hello and welcome to the Pueblo Mayor Race Podcast brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. I'm Ben Kaysen here with Regina Maestri. Regina, how are you doing?
I'm doing great this morning. I'm used to getting up early, so I'm really happy to be here. I'm a morning person.
Hey, that's good. I'm definitely not, but I'm very excited to be here with you this morning. We're excited. We're talking to all the candidates. We're going through the second strong mayor system election here in Pueblo. The election is November 7th. And just a reminder, for that election, if the winner doesn't get to 50% or more, we're going to be doing a second runoff election between the top two. So I'm really excited to be here with Regina today. If you love this podcast, go check out the rest of them we've done as well. Get to know all the candidates, hear what they all think about Pueblo. Just connect with your local government. We really appreciate that here at the Star Journal. So yeah, Regina, you about ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's start out with, what would you like to see Pueblo look like at the end of your term in 2028 if you were the mayor?
I'd really like to see a healthier community. Mm. Right now, we're suffering from crime, homelessness and trash. And due to my expertise from my profession, I have the abilities to come in here and clean this up. Mm. Similar to a city manager. Mm. I've been restoring blighted communities across the nation very successfully. You take them from a D or an F rating and you bring them up to a B status. And that means a complete overhaul. Mm. And when you overhaul a community like that, it changes the environment of the people who live there and grows like in population, because now you have a product that you're offering that people want to feel safe in. They want to live in a cleaner environment and so forth. And so that's a big part of it. I'd like to see us repair ourselves a little bit and then move forward. I don't ever want to get away from our historical value.
Yeah.
That's very nostalgic for people who like tourism. They love historical value. Mm. And so I would really like to emphasize that and bring it back up to people wanting to come and visit Pueblo. And then also to be innovative and move forward with new growth.
Hmm, I love that. So yeah, you're talking about what it looks like to, you've overhauled communities before. For people who maybe aren't familiar with it, talk to me about what is your work background and how does that help you out like you're talking about?
So I've been in construction management for 20 years and I started out building single family homes.
Wow.
And working with the development side of subdivisions and single family neighborhoods. And I did that for quite a few years until the housing industry fell. At that point, I started to work for an employer out of San Diego, which took me out of Pueblo, not permanently. I still had a home base here, but I traveled from West Coast to East Coast and back for about 15 years.
Wow.
And my employer would buy blighted large multifamily communities. And I was in charge of the complete entire renovation from all four corners and, all the amenities, all the housing facilities. We would just turnkey all of that. And my employer, his goal was that those properties would be a place where people who were losing their homes would want to come. And they were used to a little higher way of living. Mm. And so all the new clientele brought more profitability to the company. And so even though that's on a private sector, from the private business, it's pretty much the same thing. We want to restore this community so that we create new economic growth and development. Mm. If we turn it, it's always possible for people in Springs to want to come down here. That brings a huge tax base into our community. It grows our population. And I've seen a lot of bedroom communities be very successful from doing those types of things.
Mm, that makes sense. All right. Well, how would you address crime in Pueblo as the mayor?
Crime is a difficult one because the crime's happening because there's no accountability anymore. Mm. The laws at state level have reduced, charges and sentencing, and you can go we went from felonies to misdemeanors. Drug users are not being criminalized anymore for their drug usage. Mm. That's why they're openly using drugs. They're openly high in public. And so it's a big issue, and that is really a team issue with the community and our local government. What can we do? Well, on a municipal level, we can enforce. But unfortunately, that doesn't take care of the higher, criminal offenses, you know, like domestic and theft and all of those kinds of things, murder. Okay. That has to come by changing our laws, getting rid, maybe recalling some of the laws that we have recently passed. And, you know, for those who don't know, a lot of that was the architect behind those changing those laws came right out of our Pueblo legislators and was very backed by our Pueblo legislators. And so we've kind of done this to ourselves. We're all responsible because we didn't maybe take time in voting. And so I'm really big on educating the voter and for the voter to be educated. As a mayor, I am not going to cover for any political party. This is a nonpartisan race. And actually, to tell you the truth, I'm just sick of both parties these days. I think that the citizens were not aware of what was going on at state legislation because somebody didn't want to tell on their political party. Look at what it's caused. You know, our officers are questioned with everything they do when they're trying to do their job. And then you're ticketing somebody for a car theft. This has got to change. This is ridiculous. And we do have to, as a community, make sure we get that changed out at state legislation and, you know, revert back to law and order.
So yeah, you mentioned the laws kind of at the state level that have kind of changed over the last few years. For someone who maybe hasn't followed it, like, can you tell me what specific laws you're thinking of for that?
There was qualified immunity for the officers, which puts them back into retraining. And those were brought on after the George Floyd incident. So one incident in one city actually changed it across the nation. And now what we have is criminals who have more rights than the law-abiding citizen. And the qualified immunity was taken away. That was huge. And then the retraining doesn't always allow for the officer to, they're second guessing, and you should, you know, people all are really good at telling us how the police should do their job. And I believe that the police are trained. The moment they second guess any move they're making could really risk their life and other people's lives. And it just appalls me that someone is trying to tell, but you know, I think that's just natural. Everybody's always trying to tell everybody how to do their job. In this instance, it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. So you have that. And then you have, there are laws, you're allowed to have so much a higher quantity of drugs on you. And that's how they allow the drug addict to go around. And as long as they don't have more than, I think it's 4 grams of fentanyl, which can kill over 1,000 people. They're okay. They're not going to be cited for that. You know, reduced it to like misdemeanor. And so those, even the smallest things, there are some felons now that can have handguns. So it used to be no felons could have handguns, could possess a handgun, but some can now. And specifically, I don't have that information in front of me, but I don't talk about things that I haven't deeply researched.
Yeah.
Statutes and the laws are actually right here in my head, but it's been like, I don't know, 4 months and I just don't have those bills of me.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for your candor on that. I appreciate it. How would you address affordable housing in Pueblo?
You know, we have some issues. Actually, I'm in the construction industry. Single family homes is another one of my fortes. And the cost of housing to build is just astronomical through the roof. Mm. The cost of materials, COVID came along and, you know, things are double, triple, which is too bad. It's really too bad at this point. So obviously we're moving on. We're not, the prices aren't going to be cut in half.
Sure.
And we're moving forward. And so, you know, their neighborhood works is our neighbor works. Is a really good organization and I champion the things they do. And then really what I could do as mayor is to make sure that, you know, it's, to cut the bureaucracy, the red tape for some of their development. You know, I noticed that we have, a longer process than most. A lot of people come here, they want to develop and there seems to be a hang up within our system. I haven't built here in many, many years. In my capacity now in construction, I don't work in the field. And so I don't work with the agencies. And I haven't put my finger on it, but I have enough experience that when I have to view it and get into it, I'll know, you know, what to look for. And so cut that red tape and, you know, offer some reduced cost on the fees. You know, there are some things that allow us to apply for grants and so forth so that we could reduce the fees on the infrastructure and help assist with that. But there are developers out there that are willing to always come into any community as long as it's a working relationship.
What would you do to address homelessness as the mayor?
You know, homelessness is never going to be solved. It's always going to be something, you know, people's lives change and they may lose their ability, their housing. We have programs in place, you know, through drug rehab, rehabilitation first. There's a lot of, agencies that go out there and take people right from rehab and try to transition them into housing. There are some people that don't have a drug problem. They just lost their job. There's financial, maybe a split couple. And we do have Posada and we do have agencies that help people transition. We have agencies that help prisoners coming out of prison to transition. So there is a lot of help out there. I think the big concern for the community is the people that are living out by the river and in alleys and in parks and under trees and things like that. And they don't seem to want any help. We have to face that. We have to face that as a community because everything that we try to do to help those who are in need and want help, we could defeat the purpose by trying to force other people to come forward. And so it takes away from what our goal is. And those people who don't want to get with the system, don't want to be productive members of our community, they could suffer the consequences because I will enforce the ordinances that we have in place now that does not allow them to do that. And in fact, I've been working with my council. They say we don't work together and we've actually been working. They have implemented some no camping bans up in the north. And we're going to implement one here pretty soon. We're going to try, we're going to visit it and make sure that we're all, we have the votes in order to get it passed, but we're going to address it. And we're doing that modeled off of what they're doing up north and since they're doing it, I believe some of that traffic, they're not sending people here, but people are coming here because they don't want to follow that ordinance up north. So we're just implementing it here and then they can maybe move on because I'm not going to tolerate it. We're just not going to, you're either going to, you know, suffer the consequences, or you're going to just not want to live here. And I'm not big on encouraging transient type people to be a fixture in our community, especially when they're destroying our public lands and they're basically terrorizing our citizens.
What's one issue that you may not have a ton of attention that you would want to dig deeper into if you were the mayor?
I see the thing about municipal government, you know, the purpose of it is to maintain the city, and that's not sexy to a lot of people.
Yeah, sure.
It's not a sexy thing. It's not fun, you know, but it's the purpose. And so we have a lot of deterioration of our wastewater infrastructure, you know, all of our sewer lines and sewer connections. The COVID monies, the ARPA monies, that was one of the things that you could spend your money on. A lot of municipalities do because it, the silicium in the soil is what's destroying the old type of fixtures that they are using. That's part of our wastewater system. And so they have, we didn't do that. I mentioned it. Everybody said, that's not sexy. You know, you know, a carnival ride is. And so I'm really going to see how we're going to, I really want to do a deep dive into it to see exactly what we have and what we need, and how we're going to do that without bringing in an additional tax. Because it needs to be addressed. You know, we, the other thing is my deep dives and issues are things I can't see because I only see a line item as a city council member.
Sure.
Okay. Also, that's my, the only authority I have is to see the paper.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't go into the departments and go through the departments and figure out what their needs are. That is the mayor's duty. The mayor has all administrative power. The city council has zero power. So one of the deep dives is really this administration. Is it running efficiently, effectively? Are we getting what we're paying for? Because essentially they are who maintains the city and builds the new infrastructure so that we could, you know, grow economic development here. And so they're a key factor. And that is the biggest thing I'm going to be addressing is, are we giving the city what it deserves with taxpayer money?
Thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you, Regina. Cool. All right. My last question of the day is, what is special about Pueblo? What's one of the good things going on in the community? What stands out to you?
Well, you see, I was not born and raised here. My grandmother was from Pueblo. She was born here and she was raised here, but she went to San Francisco in the 40s for work. And so I was born out in the Bay Area of California in a really small farming community. So when I came back here my first time, it was like coming to the city. This was a city compared to where I was from.
Yeah.
So it has always been a wow factor for me. You know, you know, the parks, the state fair. I mean, back, okay, this is the '70s. Cause you know, I'm in my fifties. So this was the '70s. And the wow factor from the state fair. So it's always been a place, the historic value in it, the historical buildings. I love the blue collar label that this community has. I love, you know, being the steel city. I love those things. I'm a blue collar gal. And so, I felt like when I moved here as an adult, it was because I didn't want to go to college. And I thought, well, I'll go to Pueblo. At that time, we were the most economical place in America to live. And I was proud of that. I owned a beautiful home down by City Park and I worked for this, for one of a steel mill that's no longer here, sadly. I was here for 40 years. And when NAFTA came along, signed by President Clinton, that company decided to pull up and go to Mexico. And so I love it. My son serves and protects this community. He has for 15 years through the Sheriff's Department. And I have had the opportunity in my travels for work to live in beautiful cities. I mean, great cities in this nation. And people, and I've also had an opportunity to live in Europe. And so people ask me all the time, of all the places you've been, Gina, what do you love the most? Pueblo, Colorado. And it saddens me that when I came back on a full-time basis, I would see signs, yard signs in people's yard would say, pray for Pueblo, pray for Pueblo, pray for Pueblo. And I would think to myself, what is all of this meaning? Now I could see on 2020 or one of the Dateline about how we had some serious crime issues. And then as I started to acclimate back in, that's when I said, you know what, Pueblo deserves better than what we're getting. We deserve better. Our families came here, they immigrated here to live the American dream. They'd be rolling in their graves to see some of the things that we're facing now. That's not what they wanted for us. And so I'm happy to step up and serve my community as Pueblo's next mayor.
Thank you, Regina. I really appreciate you. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
If people are watching this and they want to get connected with you, they want to find out more about your campaign, more about you, where can they connect?
www.regina4pueblo.com. I have a, I've actually written that website myself. I felt like if I'm going to serve this community, it needs to be my words. So anytime you receive a mailer, a flyer, they're all my words. My, I have experts that design everything for me and they give it to me and they say, here, Regina, we want you to proof it. And I just cross out everything and I just start writing. I just get it all myself because that's my heart. That's my passion. And it's my promise to the people of Pueblo. And so it should be my words, my words. And so Regina, forpueblo.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Regina. And good luck with everything. I'm very excited about that. So
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me and the Pueblo Star Journal for being interested in contributing to the community and educating the voters. Thank you.
Yeah. So speaking of that, educating the voters and getting to know all the candidates, we have more of these podcasts. So we did one with every candidate who's on the ballot for the mayor race. Go check that out right now here on your podcast platform. For Ben and Regina, have a great rest of your day.